This is Audible.
Blue Nose Audio presents Little Stranger, written by Lee Rivers, narrated by Heather Firth and Joe Arden. Content warning. Don't be fooled by part one. This book is one of the darkest I've ever written and contains a lot of triggering content that some readers may find unsettling. If dark and taboo books aren't for you, then this isn't your jam. Really, if anything listed triggers you, I beg you to stop now. Think about your mental health and send this book back to where you found it in the pits of hell. The characters are foster siblings, not blood-related, but are raised together. If you are comfortable with heavy somnophilia, CNC, dubious consent, drugging, branding, choking, with other kinks like brother-sister kink, knife play, primal play, blood play, pain, screwdriver, fear, light breeding, anal, and spider play, Malachi Vies, my new favorite mute psychopath, is waiting for you. Part 1. Olivia. 1. Olivia. Aged 7. Mommy holds my hand as I bounce on my sparkly pink dolly shoes excitedly. The airport is very noisy from all the people rushing around. Crowds running with their suitcases, ready to go on the big plane. Is he here yet? I ask with a huge grin, pulling Mommy's hand and bouncing some more. Not yet, sweetie, she replies, glancing at my daddy. He doesn't seem as excited as me and Mommy, but I did overhear them talking this morning, and he's looking forward to finally meeting him. My new brother. He's a year older than me, and from what I heard by listening in to my parents, he's been abused, a word they used when they adopted me, too. Daddy places a hand on top of my head to stop me from jumping up and down. He doesn't like it when I do that. He usually hits my butt, then sends me to my room.
Stop being erratic. Do you promise to be on your best behavior, Angel?
I nod enthusiastically and grin, raising my pinky. I promise. He doesn't hook his pinky with mine, and I drop my hand and pout. But then my mommy squeals and leans down to me. Sweetie, this is your new brother. Remember when me and Daddy rescued you from that evil place? We rescued him, too. A boy walks towards us with a plastic bag. Where is his suitcase? He's taller than me, with black hair and the bluest eyes, like the color of my favorite doll's hair. The lady holding his hand rolls her eyes and mouths, "Good luck," to Mommy, then hands some papers to Daddy.
Sign all of these. The last page is about his therapist. Please keep that one and scan it over once you've read it all, and agree for him to attend each session.
Daddy huffs.
Are you sure about this? Have you considered his report?
He's looking at Mommy, who narrows her eyes at him.
Yes, Jameson, you're the one who showed me his case in the first place. So either put a smile on your face, or I'll do this myself.
Daddy smiles. I flap the tulle of the princess dress I wore to surprise him. I want him to be as happy as I am, but he isn't grinning or clapping like me. He looks sad. Mommy said I'd cheer her up when I talked to her, so I step forward. Hi, I say with a huge smile. My name is Olivia. I'm 7. I hold up 7 fingers. Do you think I look like a princess? I gesture to my dress. The boy stares at me, taking one step closer, making me look up at him. He's like the fireman who took me out of the burning house. A big, walking human tower. Why isn't he saying hello?
Doesn't he like my dress? Instead of speaking, he tilts his head a little, watching me. My smile drops. You don't like my dress? It has pink sparkles to match the ribbons in my hair. Mommy even let me wear some of her juicy lip gloss to make my lips sparkle like twinkling stars. He does something with his hands, and I narrow my eyes, then look at Mommy. She's talking to the lady, and my daddy is writing on pieces of paper. I turn to the boy, and he does the thing with his hands again. Was it scary on the plane? I always cry when it goes really fast and shoots off into the sky. Daddy always makes us go on one. He's your daddy now, too. He just stares at me, lifting his hand to the back of his neck, then messing up his curly black hair. I go to turn to my parents again and gasp when the boy takes my wrist, making my eyes snap back at him. He's moving his hands again, and I blink at him. Confused, I tilt my head like he did a minute ago, making my brown hair cover my eyes. He points to the revolving doors, then offers me his hand. Mommy and Daddy are still talking to the lady, so I let him take my hand, and we run towards the door. Maybe he wants to play hide and seek? I'm really good at finding great hiding places. I giggle as my dolly shoes hit the ground, my hair flying around crazy. When I was at the other house, the girls and boys always played games. The boys would chase us, and if they caught us, we had to go to jail. There were so many of us. I had loads of friends. But then Mommy and Daddy came and found me and brought me to their home. It's so big, and my mommy said I could get a dog for my birthday if I behave. It will be my first birthday with them, and I can't wait to get my first ever present. Where are we going? I ask, when he keeps pulling me through the airport, dodging all the busy people way taller than us. I trip up and I squeal as I tumble forward, but the boy catches me, dragging me back to my feet. We run again, and I start to laugh again. The boy stops at a door and looks around us, then pulls me inside. I gasp and try to get back out when I see we're in a bathroom full of boys. Grabbing me to make me look up at him, he does something with his hands again, then points at himself. When I still have no idea what he's doing, he points to his mouth and shakes his head. Then he points to my mouth and nods. You can't talk? He shakes his head again, and my eyes widen. That's okay. I couldn't talk for so, so long. I can teach you. Annoyed, he rolls his eyes. That's so rude. He points at me again, then presses his palm to his chest. And there's something scary in his eyes as he comes closer to me. I want to go back to our parents. But before I can ask what he's doing or scream real loud, Daddy throws open the door, and my mommy snatches me up into her arms.
I told you not to be trouble!
Daddy yells at me. My eyes shut, and I wait for him to yell some more, but he doesn't.
And you?
He snaps at the boy.
You're on a strike, little man. Two more and your ass is going to another new home. You're Malachi Vise now, and the Vises don't step out of line, so get used to it.
My lips curl into a smile. I'm a Vise too. We aren't afraid of anything. Except spiders. They creep me out. The boy lowers his head and circles his fist against his chest. He's saying he's sorry, sweetie. Mommy whispers to me. He communicates with sign language. What's that? I want to do it too. She chuckles and kisses my forehead. I'll teach you. We'll teach the whole house. Even the house helpers? She nods and tucks a lock of hair behind my ear. Yes, we'll ensure the chefs, maids, and security guards know how to sign. Malachi will be comfortable in our home. He's one of us now.
My new mommy is nice. She never yells at me or scares me like my daddy. She always braids my hair and paints my nails and sings with me in the car. I like my mommy. In the car, Malachi sits next to me and stares at me the whole drive home. It's a little weird, and he's making me a little nervous. I smile at him anyway, but he only slants his head, as if he's studying me. He keeps staring at my hair. Maybe he likes my ribbons? When we get to my room, the one we now share because our mommy thinks it will be the best way for us to bond, he sits on his bed opposite mine and watches me show him my new dollhouse. He doesn't laugh when I make a joke or when I make my Barbie talk to him. And when I give him one of my dolls so he can play with me, he pulls the head off and makes my eyes widen. No, I yell, snatching it from him. You don't do that, Malachi. He points at me again, then lays a palm on his chest. What does that mean? I ask, popping the doll's head back on and hiding her in the wooden house. Can you teach me? All he does is smirk. Then he reaches for a strand of my hair, rubbing it between his fingers. Do you want to smell it? It smells like strawberries. He brings my hair to his nose and inhales, closing his eyes. I freeze when he pulls me in for a hug. It's a big hug. He's holding the back of my head to his chest and sniffing my hair. I giggle when he brushes his fingers through it. He pulls back and does something with his hands again, and I grab some paper and hand him a pack of crayons. Can you write? If not, I can teach you that too. I watch him take the black one and write down one word that makes no sense.
Mine.
2. Olivia. Aged 11. And when you press the keys together, you get this. The piano sounds as my tutor shows me how to play Happy Birthday. She's been teaching me for the last 2 weeks, and I asked if she could show me how to do that song, so I can play it for Malachi. He's 12 today, but he doesn't want a party or to go for a family day out. If anything, he seems sad. My hugs usually make him feel better, or when I lie next to him in bed and we watch movies. But he said no when I asked earlier. Well, he signed no because he still doesn't talk. Mom said it's selective. He chooses not to speak, and hasn't since he was 5 years old. I'm not sure why. My dad said he'd explain when I'm older. Sometimes, when we lie in the bed or the tent we pitch in the living room, I'll try to coax him or trick him into talking, which only makes him mad. He'll ignore me for days when I do that. My friends think he's weird for not talking and laugh when he signs to me, but I tell them to shut up. We still share a room. Mom wanted to move him into his own one, but he begged her to let him stay. He's scared of the dark and sometimes sleeps beside me. And I don't think he likes Dad very much. Malachi ran out of his office with a black eye the other day. I look up from the piano as Malachi walks in. He's wearing a black hoodie, the hood up, nearly covering his curly black hair. He sits on the sofa in front of the piano and watches me while I finish my lesson. My tutor goes to speak to Mom, something about having to reschedule my next lesson, and they get into a discussion. I hear them talk about Malachi's birthday, that my dad won't be here since he's intentionally working late. Malachi comes to sit on the stool beside me. He signs,
"Teach me."
He watches my fingers as I play to him what I just learned, and his eyes light up when he realizes what it is. I grin and shrug. "Happy birthday," I say quietly. "It was supposed to be a surprise."
He signs.
Thank you.
Then gestures to the piano again.
Play.
This time I mess up, and he silently laughs at me when I huff and cross my arms. Then he starts to press the keys in front of him, higher pitched, and I try not to giggle at his terrible piano skills. Did you like the present I got you? Mom helped me pick it. He nods, then kisses my cheek, signing,
Thank you.
I turn my cheek and point at the other one. He kisses that. Then I point at my forehead, and he kisses that too. When I point to my nose, he kisses my lips, and I freeze. Pulling back, I stare at him, wide-eyed. Mom told me not to let boys kiss me. You're a boy.
I'm your brother, so I'm allowed.
Really? He nods, his eyes flashing. He watches me for a long second, then turns his body, pressing the piano keys again. I glance over my shoulder and notice my mom standing in the doorway, looking concerned as she holds Malachi's birthday cake, the candles already melting. Later that night, Dad comes home and drags Malachi out of bed, and when I try to ask what's wrong, he yells at me to go back to sleep. When Malachi comes back to our bedroom hours later, he's visibly shaking and apologizes to me using his hands, and I hug him until he falls asleep. 3. Olivia, aged 16. I brush my hair in the mirror, pull it into a high ponytail to keep it out of my face, swipe on some mascara, then hunt for my favorite lip gloss. If I don't hurry, I'm going to be late for cheer practice. And as the captain, I need to be responsible and try to be there at least 20 minutes before everyone else. My vanity shakes as I slam the little drawer. Then I let out a long, annoyed breath. Where is it? I mutter, searching through my makeup bags again. I pull my school bag across the floor, then scan the rest of my room. I bend down to look in my school bag again, just as a knock sounds on the room door. Malachi stands in my doorway, holding up my lip gloss. Why do you have that? I ask him, frowning. Then my brows soften. Did I leave it in the kitchen again? He nods and silently steps in, closing the door behind him. He tosses my lip gloss to me, then pulls off his cap, turning it backwards to tame his wavy hair. Over the last year, Malachi has changed from a boy to a young man. For 17, he looks 20 with a chiseled jaw, long lashes, and bright diamond-like blue eyes. He has muscles that are starting to become noticeable through his clothes, and he loves to run. He once signed to me that it helps clear his head. Sometimes we run together. We'll listen to the same song, usually Taylor Swift if I choose, or Bad Omens if he does. Then we'll sit by the lake and watch the sunrise before we go home and get ready for school. All my friends want to kiss him. He's the quiet, mysterious Malachi Vise that everyone wants a piece of. It sickens me, especially when they go into detail in the group chat about things I'd rather not read. He's not popular. He's the silent weirdo. Yet they say things behind his back because they're too scared to say anything to his face. Malachi leans down and sniffs my hair, just like he does every day. Then sits on my bed and signs.
Where are you going?
Abigail's having a sleepover. Dad said I could go. His eyes darken a touch, and his jaw tightens. He does that a lot, too. Are you going out? I ask him, and he shakes his head. By going out, I mean on the motorbike Mom got him for his 17th birthday. He drives around like a lunatic, and he thinks our parents don't know he smokes. But we can all smell it coming from his room on the other side of Vise Manor. Mom moved him into his own room after he kissed me on the lips in front of them. It was innocent. We'd just won a board game together and were celebrating. Apparently the wrong way. Watching them empty his side of the room was the worst day of my life, and probably his. I've never felt lonely, not since Mom and Dad adopted me. Malachi was always here, keeping me company, especially on stormy nights. My nightmares have come back, and sometimes when I can't even breathe because of them, I sneak over to his room. He never turns me away. He misses sharing a room with me, too. We used to push our beds closer and hold hands, and he sometimes sat on the edge of my bed until I fell asleep. He's such a protective brother, always making sure I'm okay. Even years later, I hate that he's on the other side of the house.
Stay,
he signs.
Watch a movie with me?
I already said I would go. We can watch a movie tomorrow night, I say, swiping the gloss onto my lips and puckering them in the vanity mirror. I pouted him in my reflection. Aw, is my big brother going to miss me? He gets up from my bed, and I gasp as he grabs my hair and pulls my head back. Taking my cheek with his other hand, he swipes the sticky lip gloss across my mouth with his thumb. My brother pulls my bottom lip down, watching it snap back. He looks mesmerized. And for some reason, I'm stuck in a trance too as he grabs my chin, pulling my hair hard enough that I hiss. Yet I don't fight him or tell him to stop. A part of me wants him to tug harder. I want him to something. What's happening? He releases me and backs away, his chest rising and falling as if he's trying to control himself. Malachi stares down at his thumb, shining with gloss from my lips, then at my now messy hair. My breaths are heavy as I wipe my mouth, my heart racing in my chest, confused about how I feel and why I'm so flushed. The chair I'm on is rolled back into position in front of my vanity, and Malachi takes my hairbrush, pulling my pony from the hair tie, then starts to drag the brush through my hair, as if nothing just happened. 3 days later, Mom is cutting vegetables when I enter the kitchen, the radio playing quietly as she hums along to the song. Dad is at work, as always. If he doesn't have his nose buried in some paperwork, he's on a conference call or at court, representing some crazy person who's trying not to get life imprisonment for murdering 6 people in one night. The Vises are famous for the cases that usually plaster news channels and social media platforms worldwide. Dad is a criminal defense attorney, and my mom is a judge. However, ever since she adopted me and Malachi, she works less and less and paints in our art room while we're at school. I don't remember much of my life before being here, but I do remember how my body felt when I went days without food, when my drug addict of a mother let men in and out of the house, the way my baby brother stopped crying forever. He lay there in his crib for days before child services burst in and found his decaying body cradled in my arms. Apologizing over and over again for not saving him, I was rushed to the emergency room, and a week later, the Vises introduced themselves and said they'd make sure I never knew what it felt like to go hungry again. They kept their word. Even though I'm scared of my dad, I love him. He's heavy-handed with Malachi and swears like a sailor, but he's trying to be calmer, better. He no longer consumes alcohol and keeps himself busy. I can't say Malachi receives the same treatment from him as I do. The only reason my brother is still under this roof is because Mom and I love him, and he's a part of our family regardless. said brother walks into the kitchen behind me, his shoulder brushing mine, then ruffles his hair as he stares into the refrigerator and grabs an orange juice. His eyes slide to Mom, then to me, and something shines in his eyes. I did go to my friend's house the other night, but I snuck out when everyone fell asleep, and instead of climbing in my own window, I climbed right into Malachi's. But that's a normal thing siblings do, right? 4. Olivia, aged 18. I think I hate you. Malachi looks offended as we walk out of the store he just bought his arachnid from. The box with holes is hugged to his chest, while I unlock my car and grimace when he places the cardboard box in the back seat. It trembles a little, and I shake my head. There's no thinking about it. I do hate you. If you take it back, I won't revoke the Big Brother card.
Stop being scared.
No. Fuck you. Why, out of all the cute little animals in there, did you buy a tarantula? When you told me you wanted to get a pet, I thought you meant a kitten or a damn dog. My brother narrows his eyes at me, so I roll mine and turn on the engine, heading for home. Our parents will still be out. They have some sort of meeting about a new foster kid who could potentially be living here soon. I hope it's not another brother. I adore Malachi, but he's a lot of work sometimes, especially with his possessiveness. It started to show more when I was 16 and went out for sleepovers, girls' days, or even to the gym. Every time, without fail, he'd blow up my phone with messages. Because obviously he can't call, since he still doesn't talk. Once, when me and Abby got drunk at our parents' house and I called him, I slurred every word and sent him my location before losing my phone, and he hunted for me on his motorbike for hours. When he was forced to give up and come home, he found me asleep in his bed. I woke in the morning with my head on his chest, awfully tangled in his limbs, and the little devil on my shoulder told me to stay. But I knew it was wrong, so I snuck out and went to my own room. Imagine another one of him in the house? I would go insane. I love him, I really do. But I have strange thoughts about him sometimes. When my fingers slip between my thighs, or when I'm kissing someone else, it's shameless how many times his face has been at the forefront of my mind when I find my orgasm. Then I'd have to sit down for breakfast or dinner or supper with him, our parents too, and pretend I didn't just get off to the thought of my brother. I need to get gas, I say, when I notice my tank is close to empty. I turn into the closest station and glance at the box over my shoulder, and wonder if he'll notice if I accidentally leave it on the roof of someone else's car. Spiders give me chills. Small ones that run across your room floor, dangle from the ceiling, or casually chill on your face while you sleep are bad enough. But the hairy thing in that box isn't just a little spider. It's red and black and hairy, and it looks like it might eat me. Rain patters down, making puddles on the ground as I fight with the handle on the gas cap. Malachi ends up twisting it off for me and sits on the hood while I fill up the tank. Arms crossed, he stares at me, and I narrow my eyes. What?
You don't have your lip gloss on?
I rub my lips together. They're stained red from the lipstick I bought a few days ago. I like this one better.
I disagree. You look like a hooker.
I slap his arm, and he silently laughs. Mom wants me to find a boyfriend because apparently I need a man to look after me. I roll my eyes. She said they'll partner me up with that weirdo Parker. Malachi's eyes darken, his jaw clenching.
You're only 18.
I laugh. Tell her that. Twisting on the gas cap, I pat his shoulder. Count yourself lucky. Dad thinks men are power, or you'd be forced into a marriage at a young age, too. He snatches my wrist before I can pull away, then drops it to sign a reply.
No, you aren't getting married.
I sigh. I really suggest you don't fight our parents on this. Their tradition is that I'm to be pure and innocent until I'm married, and you can do whatever you want. Just enjoy your freedom. Before he can respond, probably something angry given the look in his eyes, I turn away, blocking his communication, and head inside to pay and grab some snacks. While I'm waiting in line, a tap on my shoulder has me jumping and turning, and dropping my bag of chips on the ground. We both lower to our knees to pick them up, and my hands land on theirs. My eyes lift, and I find Adam, who I used to sit beside in calculus, smiling back at me. I haven't seen him in months. He dropped out of school and vanished, which was a surprise, since he was one of the best jocks, smart and, dare I say, handsome? A voice in the back of my head is yelling at me to grab the chips and leave, but we end up talking for nearly 10 minutes while the cashier waits, joining in when we comment on how terrible the weather's been for June, before the bell jingles above the door, and Malachi storms in. His eyes are on the guy I've been talking to, and he looks mad. No, furious. Oh, sorry. I was just talking to... He slams Adam's head into the wall with enough force that I cringe at the cracking sound. Once, twice, three times, and blood splatters as Adam goes limp on the ground. My eyes are wide, no sound coming out of my parted lips as the cashier runs to call the cops. Malachi's nostrils are flaring, and he turns to me, grabs my jaw, and signs,
"No."
I didn't do anything. I breathe. Why did you just do that? My gaze drops to a passed-out Adam, blood oozing from a cut on his head, and I glance up. Malachi! He shakes his head, lowering his raging gaze to Adam rousing and trying to get up from the floor, then snatches my wrist and pulls me out of the gas station. He tosses me in the car, then slams the door, and I'm frozen, barely blinking as he sits behind the wheel. He's signing something to me, but I'm not looking, my heart racing as he breathes out a huff and speeds out of the gas station. He drives us home, and I sit in silence, occasionally glancing at his right hand, the one he just used to assault Adam. Shaking, he grips the steering wheel, and I gulp at the bulging veins in his arms, feeling a sensation between my legs that definitely shouldn't be there. I shouldn't be turned on from watching him attack someone. His violence should be punished. I should be yelling at him for doing that. Instead, I'm envisioning him holding me down and... Why did you do that? I ask, trying to keep my tone calm and collected. But I fail. Why does my voice sound all breathy and needy? Why are my panties soaked? Sick, 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 and shameful. Malachi ignores me and drives faster. He was a friend from school. He knocked into me by accident, and we were only talking. He wasn't being a dick or anything.
Shut up.
He signs. I scowl, crossing my arms. The cops are going to come for you now, and Dad is going to be so mad, and then Mom will get into a fight with him. Just drop me at Abby's.
No.
Malachi, drop me at Abby's place, or I'll scream. He glances at me, presses down on the accelerator, and signs,
"Then scream."
I shake my head and look out of the window. He doesn't take me to my friend's house. He drives us both home. As soon as he pulls into the garage, I throw open the door and run to my room. Mom and Dad get home around the same time the cops arrive, informing them that Adam doesn't want to press charges. The entire time, Malachi is unfazed, slouched in a chair with parted legs, his eyes glued to a spot on the wall as he blanks everyone out. He gets a warning to be on his best behavior and possibly seek some help. Mom's eyes are wet, and she keeps glancing at Malachi as if he's going to defend his actions. But he flicks his lighter and ignores them.
"What the hell is wrong with you?"
Dad yells at him.
"You're lucky he doesn't want any more trouble, or you'd make our family look like a goddamn disgrace."
Mom sits up. Adam's family did say they'd drop the charges under certain conditions. "What conditions?" I ask, and she gives me a warm smile. "One condition. We promise Olivia to Adam." Malachi's hands fist, and Dad's eyes widen.
"I thought she had an arrangement with Parker."
Mom shrugs. "It's always good to have more than one option, Jameson."
"And how many options do you plan on giving our daughter, Jennifer?"
When they use their names in those tones, things usually explode. Swallowing, I drop my gaze to my lap, embarrassment coursing through me as they argue. There's a kick against my shin, and I lift my watery gaze to see Malachi staring at me. His brows are knitted together, and while our parents argue, he signs,
"I will kill anyone who touches you."
I believe him. But this is his fault. The yelling continues, but he doesn't care. He doesn't even flinch when Dad knocks over the table in frustration. Mom starts shouting at him then, and as things escalate into a competition over who can raise their voices the loudest, Malachi gestures to the door, and we both slip out. "Thanks," I snap, moving away from his hand low on my back, leading me up the grand staircase. "Because of you, Mom is going to force me to date him too. I hope you're proud of yourself, big brother." And I turn away from him, storming left to my room. "Are you awake, sweetheart?" I pause the TV and sit up. "Yeah, come in." My mom opens the door and closes it quietly behind her, her eyes puffy. She and Dad really went to war with each other earlier, and it's obvious she's only just stopped crying. "Are you okay?" I ask. "You were arguing for hours." "Your father wasn't pleased about my suggestion that you go on a date with that boy, but it was Adam's parents' condition for not having Malachi charged." I press my lips together. "So, to stop him from getting charged, I need to go on a date. That's blackmail, and quite honestly, it sickens me that you even agreed to it." "If you don't go, Malachi will get into a lot of trouble." When I blankly stare at her, she adds, "Do you know why your brother did that today?" Shaking my head, I reply, "No, I was just talking to Adam. He won't tell me why he did it." She sighs and sits on the edge of my bed, running her hands through her hair, golden blonde and thick, and not a hint of gray, despite Dad's hair being whiter than white. "He won't talk to us. He hasn't for quite a while. Even when I cried for him to communicate with me, he stared right through me. But he'll have a conversation with you." My shoulder raises. "Yeah, we're close like that. Forgive me for asking this, but you can tell me the truth, sweetheart. Has he ever hurt you? My eyes widen, and I sit up straighter. What? No, why would he? Malachi isn't like us, Olivia. I'm not sure why we thought we could handle someone like him. So troubled and so... I don't know. His controlling and possessive tendencies over you are dangerous. Even when your father kisses your forehead, Malachi glares at him like he wants to slit his throat. He won't speak to a therapist and won't touch medication. And I fear he really needs both. Why would he need them? She nibbles her lip and flattens her lips. Malachi has issues, as well as all the trauma from his life before coming here that triggered his mutism. He isn't mentally normal. Have you ever heard of ASPD? Sure, but Malachi isn't a psychopath or anything. He's just quiet and has a temper. Mom shakes her head. He was diagnosed at 15, sweetheart. And your father and I think that maybe we should ask him to leave now that he's 19 and at an age to support himself. My teeth crush together as I throw my duvet off. No, I force out. If he goes, I go. Don't be stupid, Olivia. Why would you do that? Malachi needs space and no restrictions. And if he's living under our roof, he needs to abide by our rules. Your father can't even be in the same room with him without feeling uncomfortable. You can't leave. You have ties to our family. You're a vice. I promise you, Mom, if Malachi goes, I will leave with him. Very well. Her shoulders hunch, and she gazes at the floor for a long minute. If he messes up once more, I don't care what the repercussions are. Malachi will be told to leave. We raised him. We put clothes on his back and filled his stomach with food. We already did our job. He's grown up now and will not bring shame to this family. Is that how you feel about me, too? You done your job by raising me, so you no longer need to act like a parent? You'll just sell me off to marry someone else's son to secure more money for yourselves? God, no, Olivia. You're my daughter and always will be. I'm not afraid of you, and I don't feel uneasy bringing new fosters in here with you. But Malachi, he seriously assaulted someone just for talking to you. What will happen if a new foster wants to be your friend? Burning hot tears slip down my cheeks. Malachi is your son. He is. And I love him, we all do. But he's dangerous and unhinged and unpredictable. He can't feel remorse or empathy or regret or even love someone properly. He's a weapon. Get out, I grit. Get out and never speak about your son like that again. I'm just looking out for everyone, sweetheart. If you can speak to Malachi and talk to him about medication and therapy, then we can help him not end up in prison. Or worse, dead from picking a fight with the wrong person. He didn't even consider the cameras or witnesses when he smashed that poor boy's head into the wall. She tries to place a hand on mine, and I pull away. I was speaking to Adam's mother on the phone. He's willing to go for dinner with you this weekend. I can rearrange your date with Parker to the weekend after. Through my teeth, I grit. How considerate of him. We can go dress shopping tomorrow. Pick you something nice and flattering. I don't dignify her with a response as she leaves the room, and I hug my knees to my chest, hearing her words over and over again. Part of what she said is right. Malachi is a little unhinged at times, but he isn't the monster she's trying to paint him as. Taking out my laptop, I look up ASPD, checking forums and medical reports. And the more I read, the more I realize that despite everything I feel towards Malachi, caring about him, wanting to spend time with him, and getting butterflies when we sleep in the same bed, he might not feel the same way about me. But then I inwardly smack myself because he's my brother, so obviously he's not going to feel the same way I do. He's possessive of me because I'm his sister, not because he wants to fuck me into next week. How does he see life? If he can't feel certain emotions, then what's it like to live in his shoes? Does he even care about living? No matter what traits and descriptors say about Malachi's diagnosis, whether he's a psychopath or a sociopath or something else, he's my big brother, and I will never walk away from him. Hours later, when everyone is asleep, I climb out of my window and balance across the ledge to his side of the manor. When I first did this years ago, I was terrified of the drop. Heights and I don't mix, but I've grown used to this one. He never locks his balcony, so I slide across the door and slip in. Archangel by Mako plays from a speaker, low enough that no one else in the house will be able to hear it. The clanking of metal, the gusts of breath he pushes out each time he raises the barbell above his head while laid out on the weight bench, the glistening sweat all over his chest and face. The combination sends a shiver through me, and I stay silent, watching, just like he does when he sees me cheer out in the yard. He drops the barbell back onto the bench stand and sits up, panting silently and sweating and rubbing the towel across his soaked face. He's only wearing shorts, so his abs are on show, glittering with sweat as he gets to his feet, tossing the towel down and running his fingers through his already disheveled hair. He looks to the side, his eyes clashing with mine, and I fidget my fingers behind my back. I couldn't sleep. He towers over me, his chest rising and falling as he closes the distance between us, stopping in front of me and reaching for one of my plates. He slips off the hair tie and unravels my hair, rubbing the strands between his fingers and bringing them to his nose, inhaling and closing his eyes. Normality for us went out the window a while ago, because I like when he does this. It calms him, and for some reason, it calms me to know that. I tried to change my strawberry-scented shampoo once, and he threw my new one in the trash and filled my bathroom unit with a supply of the one he loves. "Why did you do that today?" I whisper, my voice faltering as I look up at him through my lashes. That towering height, mixed with his muscles and dimples. I hate the fact that he's my brother. Why can't he just be a friend's brother or someone I met by chance? I'm starting to realize that I might have a crush on Malachi. The world needs to eat me up and spit me into space because what the hell? His silence is deafening, his breath starting to calm from his vigorous workout. "Mom told me to speak to you about something." The tip of his head is slight, and he lets go of my hair and backs away. "She thinks you need help, a therapist, and to be medicated." He licks the salty sweat from his lips and reaches for a fresh towel, tossing it over his shoulder. He turns his back to me, and my eyes zone in on the expanse of it. He has a nice back, a tattoo on his ribs traveling up his back and across his shoulders. It's still fresh. I went with him to get it done a few days ago and read a book for nearly 6 hours while he kept his eyes on me. I asked him if it hurt, but he shook his head. I would rather stick pins in my eyeballs than get a tattoo. Who wants to be punctured with needles over and over again? No, thank you. He told me that night, while we watched a movie, that he was going to find a tattoo gun and put his name on my thigh, then continued to grab it and make me squeal as he started tickling me. I ended up frustrated and crushing my thighs together while we watched a movie. Totally normal sibling behavior. I want that playful Malachi, not the one walking away from me and into his bathroom to turn on the shower. He walks back in, leaning over the glass tank to check on his tarantula. He looks up.
Come here.
Hesitantly, I move forward, standing beside him as I watch the 8-legged beast scurry into a burrow. But then Malachi reaches down to grab it, letting it crawl onto his palm, and I try to step back, but he snatches my wrist to keep me in place. The darkness within his eyes holds me in place, my body trembling as he manipulates my hand to put my palm upwards. The spider is on the back of his hand as he signs to me.
Are you going out with that dickhead?
I bite my lip. I need to. Mom set up a dinner date for the weekend. His nostrils flare. He signs again.
And the other guy?
My huff is louder than intended. You already know I have to. It's what wise women do, apparently. I can't say no. His jaw ticks, and I yelp as he snatches my wrist. Please don't, I beg, barely able to stay still as the spider crawls down his arm, up his forearm, and settles in his palm. Please, please, please don't. Malachi tries to put the horrific thing in my palm. I yank away just in time, and it drops to the floor. The shriek I let out as it scurries to my feet vibrates in my ears as I run to the other side of the room, throwing myself on his bed. I'm still screaming when Malachi climbs on top of me and covers my mouth with his hand, fingers digging into my cheek. He raises his finger to his lips, telling me to be silent, but all I can focus on is his body layered over mine, the hardness pressed against my inner thigh. He's hard, aroused. His cock is hard and it's pressing against me. Me, his sister. I gulp, tensing everywhere to stop myself from moving, not breathing as I feel him twitch. His jaw is clenched firmer, his eyes hooded as he stares down at me. I try to say something against his palm, but only a muffled whimper pours out of me. Is he getting harder? Oh, God. Not wanting to point out the obvious because he might not even mean to be hard, or feel the heat between us rising, or the energy in the room altering as my own arousal coats my panties, and because my mouth is covered, I lift my hands to sign. I won't scream. He twitches again, and before he gets off me, he pushes down so his cock runs against my clit, and I bite my cheek to suppress a moan. Sick. I'm so fucking sick. He isn't meaning to do it, but here I am, horny and wanting my brother to press his cock between my legs again. And the way it felt, he's well endowed, that's for sure. I sit up and go to tell him that I'll sleep in my own room if he wants. But my words are lost when I see the tented, thick outline of his cock through his shorts. He isn't even trying to hide it as his music still plays in the background. His tarantula crawling up his arm to his shoulder. I lift my eyes to his face, and I think he caught me looking at his dick. He just caught his little sister salivating over his size. Can this night get any worse? He tilts his head, his hands fisting at his side before he lifts them.
Get into bed. I'll be there in a minute.
He gestures to my side of the bed and turns away, placing his spider back in its tank and heading to the shower. My skin tingles and the butterflies are going insane, my thighs rubbing together as I lie under the covers and wait. They smell like him, and the way I'm feeling, the scent only makes me worse. I slip my hand between my legs, letting out a soft moan as I finger my wetness. With my eyes glued to the door of the bathroom, where he's naked and wet, I picture him on me as I sink two fingers inside myself. The door handle jiggles and I pull my fingers free, needing to keep going but stopping as he comes out of his bathroom with a new pair of shorts on, rubbing his black wavy hair with a towel before dropping it into his laundry basket. He climbs into bed beside me, grabs his remote, and turns on the TV. His knee bumps mine, and he doesn't pull it away as his thigh presses to my own. And I wonder if he knows my fingers are still wet, or that my pussy is clenching on nothing, needing something. Him. I want to slap myself. Promise me you won't beat anyone else up.
No.
He signs. Crossing my arms, I shuffle away from him, but I shriek as he grabs my knee and pulls me back.
Stop being a brat.
Every time you attack someone, Mom is probably going to try to arrange a date for me. She's desperate for me to get married young because she did. His head snaps to me.
How many dates has she arranged?
I've been on four so far. Two to go. Yay me. He straightens.
So far? You've been on dates already?
Rolling my eyes, I huff. I'm 18.
And? Did you fuck them?
I gasp. I'm not talking about this stuff with you. He tries to sign, but I grab his hand, lacing our fingers. Watch the movie, Malachi, or I'm going back to my room. I somehow fall asleep, waking a few hours later to find Malachi plastered to my back. His strong arms encase me as his soft, gentle breaths breeze against my neck, making those forbidden sensations return between my legs. I can't get back to sleep, especially since his cock is hard as granite and pressing against my ass.